This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Atomic batteries to power, turbines to speed, it's Bat Squad Radio, back for episode 12, The Dirty Dozen, here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. Folks, my name's Kev L, I'm the host of the show, and I'm joined by, as always, by my all-star compatriots here in the New Jersey Bat Squad. First, seated across from me is the man whose ego is the size of the great state of Texas, New Jersey Bat Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
You all right?
It just seems like these podcasts keep getting started earlier and earlier.
It's freaking like a quarter to ten in the morning.
We'll get to you. Shut up. And also, folks, seated with Dave is his best friend, his partner in crime, the Bark Knight himself, Buster the Bat Dog. Say hello, Buster. See, Buster's wide awake. Why can't you be?
I'm not a morning person. I'm a creature of the night.
He means creeper of the night.
Yes, creeper of the night. And folks, seated here off to my right is the Sultan of Spoilers himself, the man known as Spider Denny.
Hi.
What's up, Mother Dick?
What's up, Dolphin Smooth?
Sultan of Spoilers, buddy. That was good.
Yeah.
You got quite a vocabulary.
I try. folks, this is your weekly dose of pop culture viewed through geek-colored glasses, where the New Jersey Bat Squad will take you for a ride through the world of media. So without any further ado, let's get going here. All right, guys. So we have a you guys are so tired. It's ridiculous. Not everybody wakes up like with bulging eyes and like leaping out of bed like I wake up like American Dad.
No, we need to do an episode at midnight and you'll see me shine.
Yeah, I'll be terrible. I'm not a night person.
I'm
at all.
Not a morning person. This
so
is painful.
No, every morning I wake up like the opening of American Dad, where I just jump
good
out of bed.
Good morning, USA.
Like, well, the reason why is almost every night he has like five Coors Lights. Actually,
would that
what,
make
like,
me Roger
two?
Then?
Yeah. Who ate all the pecan sandies?
I don't watch American Dad. So I have no clue.
In response to Denny's alcohol infused insult, no, I'm fine. It's a lot going on. Very busy weekend.
Oh, what? All the naps that you talked about you had yesterday while I'm sitting there shoveling and playing my child?
I have perfected the 6 p.m. nap. The 6 p.m. to the 7:15 p.m. nap after work is perfect.
They call that a rum-soaked nap, folks. All right, so you know, as I said, pop culture viewed through geek-colored glasses. Coming off our big episode 11 live recording at Big Apple Con, that was a lot of fun.
What? Oh yeah, right. Yeah. Our last episode in New York City.
Let's say, where were you?
Fantastic.
He was gawking at all the girls coming by.
Yeah,
I love you, Batgirl.
I was recruiting.
Hi, Batgirl. I love you.
Recruiting new talent.
Yeah,
recruiting new talent.
Yeah, that's what you were doing.
So how about Marvel canceling?
Wait, before we get to that, I actually want to touch on something real quick. So a couple episodes back, you know, we had Mike Carbo on, which got us into Big Apple Con, and it was great. You know, we had a really great rapport with him. We had a really great interview, and I feel like
boy.
Dave felt like Mike Carbo was like his big buddy now.
You son of a bitch.
We didn't discuss for the show.
I thought we said we weren't gonna.
I'm like, no, there's no way this is getting brought up. So we get to Big Apple Con, right? We got all our stuff, and we're all ready. We're just off the train. We walk in, and there's Carbo, and you know he's very big and very like big with his arms, and you see him like directing traffic.
He's larger than life. He had the headband on. He looked like Steven Tyler with long gray hair.
He did. So Dave walks up to him to like be like, hey, buddy, hey, old pal, hey, old chum. He walks up, and Carbo looks at him and goes, who are you? And Denny, I looked at Denny, I'm like, my life is complete.
That was the best thing. I wish we had it recorded. That was the best thing ever.
I so wish you weren't in earshot for that. That did happen, but you know, in my defense, the guy had a lot going on at the moment. I don't expect him to.
He had a very forgettable face, so.
Oh, I'm no Stan Lee.
I'm so glad that you brought that up.
I almost forgot to bring it up, and then I was just like, wait a minute, Carbo said, who are you?
But, you know, after that, he did apologize. We got our free passes.
No, he didn't?
Well, in my mind, he did. We got our free passes. We went to the show.
No, he didn't. You were like, Bat Dave from Bat Squad Radio, and he was like, oh, yeah, go see Zork.
Yeah, go over there.
So, first up, Marvel is canceling their comic books?
Canceling a whole bunch of books. What is it, like 30-something books?
33, yeah.
So I have the message. Denny sent me this message, like this panicked message. But what is Marvel doing? So I'm going to read off the list of books that they are canceling. And it's like a who's who of comic books here. So this is what Denny sent me the other day. According to an interview on comicbook.com with Marvel Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing, David Gabriel, Marvel will cancel 33 of its current ongoing comic books series in the lead into the publisher's mega event, Secret Wars. Full list below. Now, this may seem like a huge deal, and it is, but only because Secret Wars is so huge. While these titles are going away, the event will see the introduction of new titles, and the post-event lineup is sure to see many of these series return, albeit with some presumably radical changes. Sadly, though, some of these books will never be seen again. You ready for this?
Yes.
All new Captain America. All new Ghost Rider. All new X-Men. Amazing Spider-Man.
I was very, very, very upset about that.
Amazing X-Men.
What?
Yeah. Angela, Asgard's Assassin. I've never heard of that one.
Oh, the Spawn. Well, Angela's.
Avengers.
Wow.
Avengers World. Captain Marvel. Cyclops. I've waited my whole life for a Cyclops comic book.
Millie the Model.
What?
Keep going.
Deadpool. Elektra. Fantastic Four, which we knew was coming. Guardians 3000, Guardians of the Galaxy, Hulk, Inhuman, Iron Fist the Living Weapon, Legendary Star-Lord, Miles Morales, Ultimate Spider-Man, New Avengers, Nightcrawler, Nova, Rocket Raccoon, Secret Avengers, Spider-Man and the X-Men, Spider-Man 2099, which I didn't know was back.
Yeah.
I love Spider-Man back. 2099. Storm, Superior Iron Man, Thor, Uncanny X-Men.
Wow.
That's a big title.
Yeah.
Wolverine and X-Men.
Well, of all those titles, how many of those are we currently buying?
I mean, I don't buy any Marvel books anymore.
I don't buy them either. Maybe that's the problem.
First of all...
I do buy DC books.
Okay.
Well, sure, first of all, well, you have to keep them in business. I understand.
I do. I solely keep DC going.
Yeah, no, I kind of figured that. But the thing is like, if you realize they're all pretty much the movies that are coming out.
Yeah.
So I wonder if there's a reason behind that. But also, they've been discussing on how they want to start making them all digital. So I wonder if they're canceling the books to start making them into digital, or...
Actually, that's a good question, guys. What do you feel about digital comic books versus real paper comic books? Because I think I have a different opinion than you guys on this one.
I don't like it.
Okay, you go first.
I don't like it, but my buddies, that I'm a year or two older than you guys, and my peers of my age group, we grew up with the stinky old rotting,
right,
breaking down wonderful comic books. Moldy, musty, you know, rats chewing on them. All of my friends my age now love digital comics.
I love digital comics. Danny, what's your opinion on it?
I'm actually in between. And the reason why, I just want to say, because... it's so convenient.
It is. Because here's the thing. On my tablet here, I have my Barnes & Noble Nook app, or you can have an Amazon Kindle or a Kindle app, and I could be like, I feel like reading Crisis on Infinite Earths right now, no matter where I am, on a train.
Yeah.
Sitting, like, I used to have to like pack comic books in like my bag to read them, and then they get all bent and whatnot. Now, my entire comic book library goes with me anywhere I go, and I could pop open Crisis on Infinite Earths. I could pop open Batman, Superman, Maximum Carnage. You know, like, I have all these things in the Nook app now.
Well,
so
see, that's good for like reading, like you said, like on the go and everything. But I physically like to have a copy and hold it in my hand and look at the, like, just feel it. You know what I mean? Like, as
I also
a collector,
get that, but like also now it's a place where it like, I have boxes of comic books that just take up space in my storage space in the basement.
That may be worth money one day. Those digital ones are not going to be worth shit.
What you're doing now is you're trading collectability for accessibility, and I'm a collector. I like to go out to shows and track these issues down, and
right,
they're not in mint condition. You lose all that in the digital age.
I've never been one of those people that's like, I'm going to buy this because one day it's going to be worth something. Like, I've never really been like that, especially like, I don't know if anything today will be worth any money. I mean, look at what everyone thought 90s comic books were going to be worth something. Everyone bought up the Death of Superman like it was going out of style.
Yeah.
And, it's worth nothing. So,
I mean, one good benefit, too, with the digital is, are you ever going to be able to read, like, Amazing Fantasy number 15, let's say?
Only in a reprint.
You know, only in a reprint.
Yeah.
Unless you rip it up.
But you want the original, you know what I mean?
Right.
So for that reason, digital is
perfect.
I get
the collectability, but like I'm saying, like, I have all these boxes that just take up space to keep adding comic books every single week.
So then why don't you just give them to me and Dave? We'll take them.
No, I'm keeping them.
Oh,
but
there you go.
I'm saying I don't have to keep buying more and taking up more space. It's all digital now. It all exists on the web. So
yeah.
I have them wherever I go. They don't take up any space. I could buy them without my wife knowing.
And it's a lot cheaper for the companies. They don't have to buy the paper. They don't have to run them on the press.
Well, here's the thing, and this is where I get angry. It is cheaper because they don't have to run them on the press. They don't have to print them, but they're the same price.
Of course. It's always the money grab.
But then I understand because, like, my co-host for Two Men and the Mouse, he runs a comic book store. He owns Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey, a brick-and-mortar comic book store. And, you know, and I think about him, and I'm like, you know what? That's probably why they keep them at like $3.99 and $4.99 in digital, because if you made them, if you made digital comic books $1.99, every brick and mortar comic book store would go out of business.
Yeah, but the other problem is a lot of these comic book stores are going to soon go under because of this.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Well, know? The way
no, go ahead. You could
the way the internet is killing newspapers.
Yeah.
The digital comics are going to kill comic books. It'll be a lost art form.
But here's the thing with comic book stores, and like this is how like my friend Pete does really well, because it's not even so much that he sells lots of comic books. It's that he sells collectibles. He sells the statues. He's like 80% of his business is on eBay, and he makes enough off eBay to even fund having the store.
Yeah, well, same thing with Steve at Amazing Heroes.
He's got so many statues and busts and just things of the like and toys in there that's what keeps it afloat. The comic books are, yes, the backbone of the store, but they don't really keep it afloat.
Yeah.
So your friendly neighborhood comic book shop may someday not have comic books, per se.
I think they'll always have comic books, because I think there'll always be a market for people who want to get them in their hands. But I think comic book stores now, I mean, if you're not selling... Like there's one that I won't name the store, but there's one in like Kenilworth where like I go in there and he's barely got any books on the shelves, and he doesn't have a lot of collectibles either. So, you know, it's I'm like, where, how do you make money? And it doesn't seem like he does.
I have one more hypothetical question for you. Well, first of all, 33 comics Marvel canceled. 33 out of how many titles? Out of 100?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. 50-something titles, I think.
So they're canceling most of their titles.
Yeah, yeah. Well over half their titles. I mean, like I said, some of them might come back. There's no way Amazing Spider-Man is not going to be a book anymore.
Well, I do want to say this, though, and I want your opinion, too. I'm just using Action Comics number one. The first appearance of Superman.
Yes.
Came out in 1938. It is valuable only, not only, but it's valuable because when it came out in 1938 for 10 cents, everyone's mom threw it out. The kids played with it. They got roughed up. They were tossed out. They burned up in fires. They were caught in floods. So you only have a handful of Action Comics, number one. Maybe in mint condition it goes for $1 million. I forget how much it goes for. A digital version is not going to go for anything.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm okay with that. That's not why I'm buying comic books, to be entertained by the stories. I'm not.
So you're
buying
a different
to,
kind of.
Yeah, I'm comic. Not really like a collector like that. I've never really been one to be like that.
Yeah, for someone like Kevin, it makes sense. But for like me and you that actually collect it, it makes sense to, like, you want them to keep publishing them.
Yeah, and we like the quest.
Yeah,
we like to
my
go
thing,
and
yeah,
try
to find them and everything, yeah.
Like, and as a kid, I was like, well, toys are toys. They're to be played with. You open them. So, like, all my like Ninja Turtles stuff, which probably could have been worth something today if I had kept it all boxed.
And again, the 90s ruined that. Everyone woke up to collecting in the 90s and ruined it for everyone.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, we'll go to cons now and, like, I saw the Power Rangers Green Ranger Dragon Dagger, which was like the toy that got away from me, like the one toy that I wanted that I never got as a kid, and it goes at cons now for like $100, like $70 to $100, and I'm like, wow, you know, I just kind of almost want to go to the toy store right now and be like, this looks like it might be valuable one day, let me buy this and just keep it somewhere, and you never know.
True, but you have people's grandmothers that have their attics full of Beanie Babies.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
valueless
crap out there.
My grandmother collected Beanie Babies like it was going out of style because she thought she was going to send us all to college with her Beanie Baby collection.
Exactly. I was the same way. I still have all my Beanie Babies. I couldn't even send them on the garage sale for like a quarter a piece.
Yeah.
Sad.
But then, you know, like my dad when he was a kid wanted G.I. Joe's Secret of the Mummy's Tomb.
Of course, like, he didn't.
Yeah.
Fuzzy Head Joe.
Yeah, and then, but he said, like, he never got it, but he was like, had I gotten it, and I still had it today, it's worth so much money now.
Yeah, those Hasbro toys from the 60s and 70s
are like
old
Migos and stuff like that. Like, those are worth good money now,
right? Yeah, Migos are more delicate
than
G.I. Joe's.
Like, packaged and...
You know what, let's discuss that stuff, classic old toys of the 60s and 70s and even 80s on another episode.
Yeah,
let's get into something that's got you guys really fired up. And that's...
Yeah, Denny and I had a little pre-show argument about the advent of Netflix series.
And as always, Kevin's wrong.
I was listening in from the other room, and you both made valid points.
Here's the thing. Netflix is creating a lot of series, like originally produced content that they are paying for, and they are producing. And in order to watch it, you have to be a Netflix subscriber for $8 a month.
Versus cable.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin, you're pro Netflix.
I'm very pro Netflix.
And Denny is kind of at this moment pro cable.
Yep. I'm not anti Netflix, but I think it's a bunch of bull crap that Netflix is putting all these things out. because people that can't afford $8 a month, I know it's only $8, blah, blah, blah. But
by that logic, then HBO shouldn't produce any content either, because you still have to subscribe to HBO. Should The Sopranos have never existed? Should Game of Thrones go off the air because you don't have HBO?
Breaking Bad?
HBO.
Breaking Bad was not. That was AMC.
All right, get out of here. This is between me and Kevin. Yeah. All right, the thing is, though, is they always put their shows on DVD. I don't know if Netflix is or isn't.
They do. Yes.
So you know stuff that's out there right now, like at Best Buy?
Orange is the New Black, yeah.
You can buy Orange. That's a Netflix thing?
Yeah, you can buy Orange.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So basically, but I love the way they're releasing it, because here's the thing. We live in a binge-watch society. We love to just take a season of a television show and watch it like over like 3 days. It's called binge-watching. That's the term. Daredevil is coming out in a month, and I'm so excited, because the way Netflix releases series is they will release the entire season in one day, and you can just binge. You can watch it at your own pace. If you want to watch it in one afternoon, watch it in one afternoon. You want to watch it over 6 months, watch it over 6 months. But you can watch the entire thing. And Marvel's got this huge deal now with Netflix. You got Daredevil, Luke Cage. Then they're going to do Luke Cage. Then they're going to do AKA Jessica Jones. And they're going to do Iron Fist. And then they will do a mini-series called The Defenders, where all four of these characters come together to form The Defenders. This is set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's good marketing for them, for Netflix. But I don't think it's fair for the people that don't have Netflix or don't want it or don't need it.
Again, the HBO argument.
I'm not going to go back to HBO. We're not talking about HBO.
Yeah, but no, it's the same concept, though. Well,
it's not. It's a totally different thing.
But here's the thing. I mean, you want to talk about things that are unfair. The cable companies have you by the nuts. Like, if you want the Disney Channel, you can't just be like to Comcast, like, I want the Disney Channel. It's like, ooh, okay, so you want Disney Channel, so that'll be an extra, like, $30 a month, because we're going to charge you for the Disney Channel and 50 other channels that you don't want, because we only sell it as a package. I got rid of cable for a long time, and the only reason I got it back was because I needed to start watching things live again because of the podcasts. Yeah. But for somebody that doesn't have a podcast network, you can easily get rid of cable nowadays. And everything I watched was Netflix for $8 a month, Hulu for $8 a month, and anything like Walking Dead, Doctor Who, things that weren't on Hulu, I would just buy on Amazon for 99 cents an episode or $1.29 an episode. So in a month, you figure there were three shows that I was paying 99 cents an episode for. So that's $12 for a month's worth of television, because four episodes a month, one a week.
But it's the same crap that you're going to be watching over and over.
Plus $8 for Netflix, plus $8 for Hulu. So that's 16 plus 12 is 16, 26, 20, $28. Like $38
a
month.
This blows my mind to hear you guys talk about this, because when I grew up as a youngster in the back in the day, we only had five channels. We had 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, and PBS 13.
And you all watched Hee Haw because there was nothing else on.
I didn't even have a color television growing up until I was 17.
That's because your dad didn't like you.
Yeah. Well, other extenuating circumstances.
But so, like, for less than like $40 a month, I had full access to every show that I like and every show that I watch.
Yeah, but some people pay hundreds of dollars a month for their packages, right?
Exactly. And cable, I was paying $200 a month for every show.
That's why. Now, if you don't have cable, if you do not have cable, too, obviously do not have HBO, do they have those shows on Netflix?
Well, you can now subscribe to HBO without a cable subscription.
Yeah, no, I know that. So now you have to pay more money besides having Netflix.
Yeah,
Netflix has the same crap.
You have to pay a whole other $6.
That's expensive.
It's still under $50 at that point. If you're adding HBO onto it, which we did, you're adding HBO onto it. And so that's another $6 on to make it maybe still less than 50, still better than paying $200 a month.
I only
to a greedy,
75,
fat cat, disgusting,
spend,
vile, brutal, trash
spend,
bag cable company
spend,
that's going to suck the lifeblood out of you.
I spend $80 on all three. I got cable. I don't have HBO or anything, because that's just crap. So I have cable and television. Oh, that is the same thing. Internet and phone.
Well, how about let's talk about content. I saw Daredevil, the teaser for it. It looks good.
Tremendous. I thought Vincent D'Onofrio looked great as the Kingpin.
He's not big enough.
Because there's no human being on Earth except for King Kong Bundy that is big enough to play the Kingpin.
David J is kind of... David
but J. no one knows. No one knows
no
our
one knows
buddy David,
David
J.
Could you imagine Kingpin standing there with his arms crossed?
Yeah, it'd be perfect. Yeah,
the cowboy hat.
Kingpin needs to be a really big, burly guy.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the thing with Kingpin is, outside of doing like CGI or just a big fat suit, you can't really get anyone to be that.
See, no, that's not fair. I can't watch it until either A, I spend the $8 stupid, or B, I wait for DVD.
I'm sorry.
That's bullshit.
How is it bullshit? It's a subscription service.
You need to get a better job, Denny. You need to earn more money, and then you could buy more extravagant crap like Kevin.
I wouldn't waste $8 on that.
You know what? How about I just give you my Netflix login, and then you can watch it?
Okay.
Yes, now he's all for it. But the, yeah, so they how do I even put yeah, it looked great. I like that he's wearing the like the original Daredevil costume before he wears the red.
Right.
It was just a very makeshift like black long sleeve shirt, black jeans, gloves, and like the black bandana over his eyes and head.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's blind, so he doesn't need to see it.
Wasn't it yellow, or was that before? I don't know much about Daredevil.
That was when he first started. The original Stan Lee comic book. He wore yellow.
Yeah,
and red.
The late great Wally Wood did a few of the first issues, and it's awesome. Frank Miller even touched upon the yellow and red outfit.
I love Frank Miller's run.
And I even liked the Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck 12 years ago.
I like it too. If you watch the director's cut, it's not a bad movie.
It's not the
version they released in theaters. Yes, not very good. But if you watch, there's like a whole subplot that they cut out of the film. And it makes it a complete film.
I always said that Daredevil movie with Affleck was the best Batman movie up to that point.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have much to compare it to.
And now he's Batman.
Yeah. So it's all good. Yeah.
I've always said Daredevil is kind of the Batman of the Marvel Universe because he is kind of that gritty, like,
you know,
ground and pound hero.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he's got powers.
Limited powers.
He's got limited powers, but the one other thing I liked was they showed Stick, the guy that trains him.
Right.
So it seems like they're really taking it from the Frank Miller run.
Yeah,
for this show,
but Daredevil doesn't have the money of Bruce Wayne.
You know what? I was going to bring it up once you guys started.
He's a lawyer
talking.
Though, so he probably lives a comfortable.
I was
going
to say, first of all, he probably could have bought new eyeballs so he can see, but you can't compare. You can't compare that. Go ahead.
Enough with the Batman bashing. Wasn't there some very, very sad news in the world of professional wrestling a couple of days ago?
Yeah, it happened down in Mexico. It was a wrestler. His name of Hijo del Perro. It means something like cousin of dog or something like
okay.
that.
Yeah.
I think hijo means cousin, right?
Yeah, I don't know any of it.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's some kind of family member term. So I have it here. Basically, what happened was this guy was in a match with Rey Mysterio.
I love Rey.
Yeah. And Mysterio has this move called the 619 where he drop kicks you in the back. You fall into the ropes, like you drape your upper body over the second rope, and then he does like this like spinning move where he kicks you in the face. So Ray gets the drop kick on the guy. The guy goes into the ropes and then doesn't move. And then Ray goes to give the 619 this move, and he just sails right over the guy's head. The guy doesn't even react.
He's just dangling
he's
there
just
on
dangling
the ropes
there because he's dead.
It was so sad. I saw the video. I was like, oh my God.
And the match continued on for several minutes afterwards with him slumped there.
I wonder under contract or anything if they have to, they say, listen, you know, if something does happen, continue. I remember that happened with Bret Hart, remember a long time ago?
Yeah. The show must go on.
No, Owen Hart, I'm sorry.
Owen Hart, when he fell, yeah. A lot of people still criticize the WWE for that, that they kept the show going.
Yeah.
Because, and you could hear, like, the announcers were having a hard time with it. They, I'll never forget The Rock, The Rock used to do this thing where he'd come out and he'd pick up the headset from the commentator while he's beating on the guy and, like, you know, say something like, so The Rock goes to the Spanish announce table and he puts a headset on and he goes, for all The Rock's Hispanic fans, The Rock, kick your monkey ass, eh? And then before he takes it off, he goes, oh, and The Rock loved you, and throws it down. And it was just like that moment of realism.
Yeah.
And like it was like, cause I remember it's like they kept going and like Steve Austin loses the title and like, you know, and you could tell like Jim Ross does an amazing job of holding it together, but you could tell it's hard for him.
So that, like I said, like, I mean, as a wrestler, would they have under contract or something to say, hey, listen, if something kind of happens, like keep going, or it's all different?
No, I mean, we're kind of taught that like if somebody goes down with an injury, you keep going.
Yeah. Just kind of leave them alone.
Listen,
a little
they
bit, right?
didn't know. Well, yeah, because the trainer should then be coming out and taking, especially if you're in a place where there's an athletic commission, there has to be a doctor on premises. New Jersey's not one of those places.
Of course not.
New York and Pennsylvania, though, there has to be a doctor on site for all wrestling shows, indie or WWE or whatnot, because it's still governed by an athletic commission.
Yeah.
In New Jersey, it's considered entertainment. So we're like, in New Jersey, wrestling is considered nothing more than like a theatrical production or a play. So you don't need a license. Like, the promoter doesn't need a license. It's not a sporting event. You don't need a doctor. There's no, like, that's why anyone and their mother can produce a wrestling show in the state of New Jersey. But in New York, you have to have a promoter's license. You have to have, like, guardrails. You have to have blue mats on the ground. It's like a whole big thing in New York.
Wow.
No, when I sat in with you for 3 months, 4 months as Detective Rick Vandelay, I really got to see the real side of it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there's injuries, and
yeah,
it's
so they definitely didn't. But what I don't like is that not only they kept going with the match, but like Pero's like down in the ropes, and the trainer's checking on him, and Mysterio is like doing a move to a guy, throwing him into the ropes right by where his lifeless body is.
You don't think though, in his defense, maybe he thought, oh, he's just playing dead,
yeah,
like Weekend at Bernie's.
No, they knew he was. They knew something was wrong. He didn't know he was dead.
Yeah.
They knew something was wrong. They knew he was out, at least, the very least, unconscious.
They said he had, a stroke, right? Something with his
spine?
Yeah,
so hold on. I'm going to read you some stuff here. The Associated Press said, El hijo de Pero Aguayo, real name Pedro Aguayo Ramirez, died early this morning after an accident during a match in Tijuana, Mexico, where he teamed with Manic to face Extreme Tiger and Rey Mysterio for the Crash Lucha Libre independent promotion. Ramirez took a spinning head scissors from Mysterio during the match, got back into the ring, and then took a drop kick to set up a 619 from Mysterio. At this time, the cause of death appears to be from a snapped vertebrae when Aguayo's head landed on the ropes following the drop kick.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, boy.
The Associated Press is reporting the death is being investigated as possible manslaughter, and the report had the following to say regarding the tragedy. It makes me very sad because he was a professional colleague, and I have great affection for his father. I think the fans in Japan and U.S. and Mexico, of course, where he was very popular, must be in mourning, especially because of his youth. He had much ahead of him. Now, Guayo's father has yet to be informed of his son's death.
But there are inherent risks to being a professional wrestler.
There are. And you live with those risks each and every day. And every time you go out to the ring, there's butterflies because you're not sure. You know, one misstep and you're paralyzed.
So are they going to hit Mysterio with manslaughter?
It sounded like that could be something that they might do. I mean, because remember, it's not U.S. courts here. It's Mexico.
Oh, true.
So the Mexican law might be different than. But Rey Mysterio is like a god in Mexico. There's no way he's seeing the inside of a jail cell for this.
Ay, Chihuahua.
That was offensive.
Yeah, it was.
Jeez.
Buster.
But yeah, apparently the dude's dad is just not in good health, and they're afraid that if they tell him this, like that his son died, he'll just keel over.
Yeah, he'll probably have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Dios mío.
Yep. And then the cause of death. There have been many questions as to why. According to MiedoTiempo.com, the cause of death for AAA star El Hijo de Pedro Aguayo was a stroke caused by cervical spinal damage. So that would go with, like, when he hit his head on the rope. Because the ropes are not regular ropes. Like, it's not rope. In the WWE, it's rope. But in most indie federations, it's steel cable.
Yeah.
Steel cable run through usually a garden hose, and they put tape over it. So it's pulled extremely tight. So
right.
If you went into it the wrong way, head first like he did, that could crack a vertebrae easily.
That's a sad story.
There has also been many questions as to why it took almost 2 full minutes for anyone to treat Aguayo after he fell unconscious in the ring. And the Medio Tiempo report is noting the doctor in charge of the event was preoccupied with treating two other injured wrestlers, so he was unable to be present at ringside for the main event. So there you go.
Yeah, it happens.
He was carried out. This just shows you like where in Mexico they were and what kind of places. He was carried out not on a stretcher but on a piece of plywood.
Interesting.
Oh, boy. Sounds like they got the same budget that we have around here.
Yeah.
That's very sad, but I think we should move on to something that's very near and dear to the both of you. Not to me, and that is
video games. Yeah, I mean, this is a definite pop culture thing here. This Mortal Kombat X, everybody keeps asking me if I'm getting it. I'm not. Like, I have no plans on it.
The day it comes out.
Did you pre-order it to get like the DLC and stuff?
I could play as Goro. So
yeah.
I'm very excited about that. I pre-order both of them, which is kind of sad. I buy one. I buy the arcade, the collector's edition, and then I buy just like the regular standard edition. This way
right.
I could put that one up on a shelf and then play the other one.
Mortal Kombat has been around since Denny and I were in grade school.
It's a 91?
Yeah.
92?
Dave was already 30. And,
Thanks for rounding down.
You're a couple years older than us. You know?
A couple years.
But remember Mortal Kombat when we were kids? It was like the big like taboo thing. It was like, oh, that Mortal Kombat.
Violent.
It's very violent. Yeah. It was the first game to really feature excessive blood and gore, and the fatalities were brutal.
Oh, yeah.
People would explode. Hearts would be ripped out. Arms would be ripped off. All that great stuff.
Head ripped off, the spine hanging.
Yep, with the spine
yep,
like dangling off the
wins.
Skull. Yep. But it gave us some of the most classic pop culture characters out there, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Raiden, Goro. But now the thing that they've been doing recently, and it started with, they rebooted the franchise a couple years back and did like a time travel game. And one of the DLCs for that was Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
And ever since then, they've started doing like pop culture icons as DLC, and we're seeing that with this game especially. There are two. Jason Voorhees.
Which is awesome.
From Friday the 13th, and they just announced Predator.
So that's going to freaking kick ass. Now,
yeah.
Imagine if they have one of the aliens in there. Exomorph.
Oh, that would called? Be so cool if they if they had
I can never
exomorph.
Pronounce that. Exomorph.
I don't know. I never really. I've called. Never actually. Believe it or not, I have never seen Alien.
Are you serious?
Never seen Alien. The only Alien movie I saw was Alien vs. Predator because I thought it was cool.
Wow. You that gotta cool. see the first Alien. It's yeah. one of the best science fiction horror movies ever made.
Well, when I was a kid, I had this affliction. I was a pussy. So I didn't watch any kind of horror
You're
still
movie. Still suffering with it.
Like I would see that, like I was basically Chucky from Rugrats. I was like, I don't think that's such a good idea.
See, I get that reference. He probably doesn't.
Yeah, because he was 40 when it came out.
Yes. I know Rugrats.
Okay.
Anyway, let's go back to Mortal Kombat because I'm excited.
Yeah, so this game, it seems pretty pretty cool. People there's are very excited about
there's
it.
There's a couple questions that I actually have with it, though. First of all, I think they should bring back Freddy.
The only reason why so you could do so
Freddy
versus
Freddy
Jason.
Versus Jason. That's why they're talking about the Alien, which that would be freaking awesome because you have Alien versus Predator,
right?
Kick ass. And the only question I have a PS3 and a PS4.
Okay.
And I have a PS Vita, but that's not doing that well. I hope they have cross-buy. If I bought it on the PS3 or PS4 version, that
can you
means
play
that
it on the Vita?
I could get a DLC to download it to any other console and play it for free.
Right.
And the reason why, because PS4 you have to pay to play online, PS3 is free. I have a bunch of people that have the PS3 and are going to buy the Mortal Kombat X. Unfortunately, I want to buy it for the PS4 because it's just going to be better.
Right, I get that.
So now I want it. Now, what do I do? Do I buy two versions? Or, like I said, I'm hoping that they have cross-buy because that would be amazing. Now, the coolest thing is they're going to have it on mobile, any kind of mobile device, your tablet or whatever, and you could play it on there. Now, whatever you win...
Is it the full game, though, or is it like that... Because NetherRealm does a lot of these games. They just did a WWE, like Mortal Kombat-esque game, and it's like a swipe game.
It's a little iffy. They don't have much information about it, but what I think is cool... They say you could quote-unquote continue playing on your console from your tablet or mobile device.
I'm assuming it's going to be like one of those tap swipe games because they're famous for those. They did it for Injustice. They did it for WWE. I think they're going to do it for this too.
Yeah, I think they will. But the one thing that I do like about it is whatever you win playing it on your device will go into your PlayStation account or Xbox account or whatever. So if you win like a trophy or you win because supposedly there's a gold Scorpion outfit. And if you do certain fatalities or whatever, you win that.
Yeah.
So if you win it on your device, you will get it in the console version.
Yeah, that's not a new concept. They've been doing that for a while. They've there's a bunch of for Injustice there were if you wanted to get the Prisoner Superman or something like that, you had to play it on the mobile device and it sync it to your Microsoft account.
Yeah, exactly.
But I have what I think is a very valid question as someone that's never played Mortal Kombat, any version. As a matter of fact, the last game I played was what, Galaga?
The Frogger or something
that. Yeah, Asteroids.
Yeah.
Is Batman in it? We'll bring up the new Batman.
Actually, there is a Mortal Kombat game with Batman in it.
And it sucked.
Mortal Kombat versus the DC Universe.
It was horrible.
Well,
I have it. I like it.
Probably there was no blood or nothing in it. That's why people were upset and didn't really go anywhere.
Go ahead, Dave.
Well, the new Mortal Kombat X. Yeah. Does the X signify that it's going to be porn?
No, I think it signifies that it's the 10th game.
Oh, okay. Carry on.
The one thing I'm excited about, too, is McFarlane announced that he would absolutely love to have Spawn. If they freaking put Spawn in there, I'm just going to crap my pants because I love Spawn.
Spawn was in...
Wait, I want to say something. A lot of you guys don't know this. Spawn is my number one superhero.
What?
I bet you guys...
More than Spider-Man.
Spawn Denny. But in all honesty, Spawn is my number one character. It really is.
Really?
Yep.
How'd you like that Spawn movie from the 90s?
Hated it.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was pretty bad. But McFarlane also said in an interview, besides wanting him in the game with NetherRealms didn't confirm it yet, he wants to really start pushing it. They're actually starting a new movie with Spawn. They're doing some kind of animated series and a bunch of other stuff. So I'm really excited. Hopefully McFarlane... stays with his word and goes forward with this. I'll be freaking excited as hell.
That'd be really cool. Spawn was in... what was the game?
Mortal Kombat.
No. There was a fighting game that he was in.
Yeah.
Was it Tekken?
Oh, my God. Tekken.
Was it Tekken?
Yeah.
Because, Tekken...
Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur. That was it. Soul Calibur had a promotion with all the different systems. So if you bought it for Wii, you got Luke Skywalker. If you bought it for Xbox, you got Yoda, and if you bought it for PlayStation, you got Spawn.
Yep, that's why PlayStation is so much better.
And there's a new Batman Arkham game coming out.
Yes,
right?
Arkham Knight. I have it I have pre-ordered the special edition for it. It gets you the Red Hood and Harley Quinn story packs.
Even though
it
Batman also, sucks, this game looks awesome.
It looks like Batman as Iron Man.
Yeah,
he's got full armor now.
Yeah, it also gets you a Batman statue. Or a Batmobile statue, because you can drive the Batmobile in this game throughout around Gotham.
Finally.
Yeah.
But will the Batmobile look like a Batmobile, or will it look like a tank?
It looks like a tank.
Mm.
Oh, no, actually, it kind of looks like a tank mixed with a car. Like, it looks like an armored hot rod almost.
I'll tell you what a great upcoming podcast of this show would be. You guys get this new Batman game, and I play it. Be the first video game I play in 31 years.
That would be kind of funny.
And me trying to figure out the joystick.
I am getting it, so we will do that.
Yes.
We'll film it and record it. Hey, folks, Kev here with some news about how you, the listener, can help out your favorite podcast network. And by that, I mean the White Dragon Podcast Network. I hope I didn't need explaining. Are you an online shopper? Chances are the answer to that is yes. Well, if you're going to be doing any shopping on Amazon.com with like a cost-free way to support your favorite free podcasts, then head over to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com and click on the Amazon banner at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you've always gone to. You don't pay a penny extra, and the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage of what you buy. If you're looking to support the network in a more direct manner, you can go to WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com/sponsor and make a small monetary donation to the upkeep of the server, website, and network in general. No amount is too small, and all donations will be recognized on Two Men in the Mouse, Mouselanius, and Bat Squad Radio. Thank you so much. It's through the support of dedicated listeners like you that these shows remain on the air and free for everyone. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for your continued attention and for your support of the White Dragon Podcast Network. Hey, Danny, we like The Walking Dead.
I absolutely love The Walking Dead.
But you know the problem with talking about The Walking Dead on Bat Squad Radio?
I do know the problem.
Dave. Right? So you guys want to know where you can find great Walking Dead discussion without Dave interjecting his lame jokes into it?
Please tell me.
Walker Talkers.
All right.
The WDPN Walking Dead Review Podcast, dropping every Friday morning here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, featuring none other than Denny and myself.
Sounds good to me.
It's your number one source for Dave-free Walking Dead reviews. Folks, you can find it at WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com/WalkerTalkers.
Screw Dave.
Yep, that's WhiteDragonPodcastNetwork.com/WalkerTalkers. Screw Dave.
Screw Dave.
Now, are we done with the video game stuff? Because I have a question for you two guys.
Yeah.
You two guys have been cheating on me. You're doing this whole other podcast without my consent.
Uh-huh.
It's something called Walker Talkers.
Yes, Walker Talkers, the Walking Dead review show on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
And
every Friday.
Okay, I'm proud of you.
We've already almost got as many episodes of Walker Talkers as we have of Bat Squad Radio, which is kind of sad.
It is sad.
Because we do it every week.
Well, yeah, nice double cheap shot there. But zing. Anyhow, zing, I want to say, though, the only thing that is inherently wrong with your premise of Walker Talkers is that Denny is the sultan of spoilers.
Yeah.
This must be a sore spot for a lot of your listeners.
Every episode of Walker Talkers, there are full spoilers for the episode that preceded it because it is a review show, so we are reviewing it. But
they're not spoilers; they're freaking predictions.
They're predictions.
They're predictions.
From a fella who's read all damn comic books and knows what's going to happen. So your predictions are spoilers.
No, they're not, because you told me not to do that. So I'm trying my best
On the show he doesn't do it, but we have a Facebook discussion page, facebook.com/groups/WalkerTalkersWDPN. And I will say, you're good there. You're
good there too.
No, because like we'll have like a spoiler thread and we'll mark it as a spoiler thread so that nobody, if you don't want to know, you don't click on it.
So maybe your podcast, the Walker Talker listeners, should wait 48 hours to listen or?
No. Well, I mean, Walker Talkers doesn't come out. The Walking Dead airs on Sunday. Walker Talkers comes out on Friday.
Oh, okay. Then, damn.
Yeah, we want to give all the slower people a chance to watch the episode before we release.
Okay, that's cool.
But that's the thing, too, because we put the word spoiler and then people still bitch and complain.
All right, so what happened recently that got you fired up about this? Like, you posted a prediction and people got upset.
Oh, someone on Facebook, I wrote something like, I hooked up with Maggie last night and it was like one of the best dreams I've ever had in my entire life. And so someone just wound up responding and said they wound up saying something like oh, I have to fight through Glenn now, and I'm just like, maybe at the end of the season I wouldn't have to worry about it because maybe he dies. Who knows?
And, but that's not a spoiler. That's more of like
him being Denny.
Yeah, it's Denny being Denny. And you know, I've never read the comic books, and I think Glenn might die this season. So you know, that's not a spoiler coming from me either. It's just because something happens in the comics doesn't mean it's going to happen on the show.
Yeah, but here's the thing: you could post something similar. I could post something similar. Denny being Denny, he seems to generate this kind of conflict.
Well, it's like, you know, like if a cop pulls somebody over and they've got priors,
right?
Like they're harder on them. Uh-huh. I think that's where it is with Denny. Like Denny's got priors with this. Like Denny has priors where he's spoiled the crap out of The Walking Dead. So if he spoils even a little, if anything is even construed as a spoiler, they want to go all LAPD on him and throw him on the sidewalk and beat him with billy clubs.
Yeah, but when I post stuff about, oh man, what a dream I had about me and Barbara Feldon from Get Smart, there's no flack over that. People are cool with it. Yeah.
So anyway, so it says, I'm not going to read it or any names or anything, but it says, you know, like, Denny, don't spoil it for the 9 readers out there, blah, blah. And I said, it's a prediction, my friend.
Prediction.
I said, you know, it's a freedom of speech on my own post. So blah, blah, blah. People are just, you know, going
Wild
back
West,
and forth.
Denny.
So, out of nowhere, for some reason, my wife just posts this. I'm going to see what Chad and Tatum is up to today.
You're married?
What the F does that have to do with that post?
It means you're dreaming about Maggie, so she's going to go dream about Channing Tatum.
Yeah, buddy.
I got that, you know, in like 0.2
I'm just
going to
give it a like. There, I give her a like.
She's having a...
You're married?
Whatever.
Just caught that.
But everyone dreams about Channing Tatum.
Good Lord.
Okay, that was fun.
Why can't you guys speak today? Like, is it really that early?
Well, for David, it's too early. For me, I have no clue.
I'm going to marry my cousin.
What are you, spoiler the kid?
Wild West. Anyway, let's talk about some wacky news.
Hold on one second.
Before, I want to get out of this.
No, before we get there.
Well, let me say, Denny, your hair looks full body today.
Thank you.
It looks really good.
I was going to say that when he was
got a full head of viral hair.
Oh, I'm viral. I told you the treatment. I'm on top of this. but Denny, I will give it to, it was an accidentally spoiled The Walking Dead for me last week.
Oh man,
Denny and I lately because now I watch live because of the show. Denny and I text each other during The Walking Dead like 15-year-old girls. Oh, did you see this? Did you see that? Last week, I had to work, so I wasn't watching it, and Denny didn't know that I wasn't watching it live, and he texts me like a huge spoiler. And I was like, I'm not watching it live. And to his credit, he was sorry and publicly apologized on Walker Talkers.
I really was. I felt bad because I watch it live. I thought he was because we do the show now. So
yeah, no, tonight I'll be watching live. So feel free to text me whatever you want.
I would compliment Denny that he's been showing a lot of personal growth lately. But every time I do that, it always seems to backfire.
One step forward, two steps back.
Or three.
The Spider Denny story.
Well, that's because you mention it, so I don't realize I'm doing it.
All right, ready for some wacky news this week?
Wacky news!
We definitely need like a bumper like that.
Dave, you should put some socks on. That's pretty gross.
Ew. Just because my toenails are white.
All right, that's enough. All right, so wacky news this week. We got a couple stories. One of them is just, it's literally just a headline because I thought this headline was hysterical. Fire extinguisher factory goes up in blaze.
That's that's wacky.
But here's what. I love stupid criminals. Stupid criminals are one of my favorite things in the world. Like, criminals that even Batman would be like, I'm not even going to bother. Like, because they just take care of it themselves. So,
or he'll just pay somebody to do it. Go ahead.
So, I'm not going to bury the lead. Girls brag about Dairy Queen robbery on Snapchat. This That's is the great. True criminal mind at work, my friends. It takes a certain callousness to rob an ice cream shop of tips on free cone day, but blatantly bragging about it on the internet is just plain stupid. Police in St. Clair Shores, Michigan say a group of 5 teenage girls swiped the tip jar at a Dairy Queen on Monday where the store was giving away free ice cream cones. Owner Liz Hope told Fox Detroit that the girls fled and other customers took photos of them, their getaway car, and the car's plate. So already, not really that smart. They shared their photos with police who are investigating the robbery. Those photos alone may have been enough to lead police to the girls, but Hope said what the accused teen thieves did next truly surprised her. The 5 girls posted a video clip of themselves in the car waving what appears to be cash from the robbery to Snapchat. The caption says, "Robbed Dairy Queen tip jar."
Yeah, well, idiots. that's the society we live in. And I would say most people under 20 are idiots.
So Snapchat is a photo messaging app. It claims to delete images after they're sent. However, those who receive them can take screenshots of the snaps and thereby preserve them. That's one way cops may have gotten a hold of the video. So in addition to footage of the girls allegedly committing a robbery, cops may now have their hands on a confession.
Wow.
Videotaping our crime is the greatest idea we've ever had.
An idiot.
Dairy Queen, too. I love Dairy Queen.
You know what would be a great reality show? Crime. Crime the reality show. Let's film ourselves committing crimes, and then Hollywood will pick us up. I mean, I love stupid criminals. I love stupid criminals. Speaking of stupid criminals, I have one more stupid criminal story for you this week. California man painted himself black to evade cops. It didn't work.
Where was he hiding? In the shadows?
A California man remained in jail Wednesday on charges of auto theft and violating probation, according to court records, which showed in vivid booking photos that he'd spray-painted himself black to avoid the cops.
Maybe he was just cosplaying.
Jose Espinoza, 23, was held on $35,000 bond after his arrest Saturday in Moderna, northeast of Fresno, according to the Madera County Corrections Department. Jail booking photos confirm what Madera police said in a deadpan Facebook post. Last night, Jose Espinoza fled from a stolen car. Officers arrested Jose later in the evening after he had fled a second time. This time, Jose spray-painted his face black in an effort to camouflage himself. The camouflage was ineffective.
So the cops were like, Jose, can you see him?
Yes, they could.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so there's a photo right now. I'm going to post that up in the show notes at whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com/batsquadradio. And then my last bit of wacky news this week is kind of like I would call this a wonder of the world almost. It's an island in Japan. The island is called Tashirojima. However, it's more commonly referred to as Cat Island.
Ooh, Cat Island.
Have you heard about this?
No.
Danny, I know you've heard about this.
Pussy Island? Hell yeah.
Cat Island. It's not Pussy Island. It's Cat Island. Oh. It's a small island in Ishinomaki, Miyagi, Japan. Not Mr. Miyagi. Don't get excited. It lies in the Pacific Ocean off the Oshika Peninsula to the west of Ajishima. It's an inhabited island, although the population is quite small, around 100 people, which is down from about 1,000 people in the 1950s. So the population has decreased significantly. It might have something to do with the large stray cat population that thrives as a result of the local belief that feeding cats will bring wealth and good fortune. The cat population is now larger than the human population on the island.
Wow.
Disgusting.
There's a YouTube video that I'm going to post up on the Facebook, and it is like, you literally can't see the ground because it's just cats.
People are like slipping on hairballs.
Yeah. They're crapping everywhere. It's, you know. However, I have received word that the mouse population is severely down in this area.
And that's wacky news.
That's the wacky news for this week, folks. All right. So, guys, I wanted to give you a little shout out.
Oh, thank you. I thought you were going to forget.
You guys produced your second commercial for Amazing Heroes comic book shop in Union on Stuyvesant Avenue, and I liked this one. And that's not to say that I don't always like your stuff, but like this one was funny. I thought your acting has at least Denny's acting has come quite far.
Well, that's because I don't get told what to say or have to do 25 push-ups before I go on screen.
Do you really do push-ups before you go on
screen? No, he makes me do it. He's like, suck in that gut. Do some push-ups.
You know, I am the one that's writing the scripts a lot of
sit-ups.
Time.
I'm sorry.
None of us at Bat Squad Studios are trained actors. So if you ever see any of our 47 fan films, it's just regular people. We're dressing up. Sometimes we have the Batmobile. Sometimes we're here. Always trying to film on location. I have an old high school chum named Steve Nemeke. He is the shopkeeper. He owns Amazing Heroes in downtown Union, New Jersey.
Yeah, I've seen commercials for it during The Walking Dead, actually.
Not ours, but no. Yeah. So
I've been in Amazing Heroes before. I like it. It's a nice store, very clean, very organized.
Yes.
The thing I like in a comic book store is when you can go in and find what you're looking for. And this store is very nice and put together very well. Not a large space, but that's what I like the best. I like those stores that aren't huge.
Well, it's funny. It's not a large store per se, but underneath is where the magic is.
I saw this.
There's underground subterranean tunnels that run underneath my hometown of Union, and we do a lot of filming there. It's eerie stuff. It's like Silence of the Lambs type of things.
It's like catacombs under Paris.
Yeah.
It's so really creepy.
And it looks great on
only with
film.
Beer cans instead of skulls.
Pretty much. And the beer cans were mine.
Yeah.
But as you alluded to, Amazing Heroes commercial number 2 just came out on Facebook and YouTube. It's 1:57, and Denny and I are finally learning that people don't like to watch 48-minute productions from us.
Welcome to the modern age, boys.
Apparently, people in this day and age have short attention spans, so we're trying to keep the stuff under 4 minutes, under 3 minutes. This one's 1:54.
Perfect.
It flies by. It's basically an ongoing saga of my Batman character versus his Spider-Man character, a game of one-upsmanship. And I appreciate that you like it, because I do believe that our acting, Denny's acting, as I said, is unscripted. He won't recite anything I write for him.
He's an improv specialist.
And speaking of acting, Kev, back in the day when we were all working together at the newspaper, you were an up and coming actor. And I just wanted to know, I haven't seen any new thespianic activities from you lately.
Well, because my acting is mostly now wrestling related. So, okay. If you were watching East Coast Professional Wrestling Adrenaline TV, which can be found on ecpw1.com every single week, you will actually see me both performing and... okay, here, you want to get a little peek behind the scenes here?
Sure.
Not only am I performing as Vincent Valentine, where I'll be like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to come out there this week and I'm going to viciously rip you apart.
Or as Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
I'm also, in my regular voice, the commentator for the show.
Awesome.
And you can't tell, like, I've commentated my own stuff, and people don't know. People actually come up to me at the shows, and they're like, hey, man, who's this new commentator? He's really good. And I'm like, yes, he is.
Are you sitting there like, whoa, did you see how awesome that move was? He's done it so perfectly. Like,
Vincent Valentine is looking rather attractive today. His hair is not thinning in the least bit.
Or as Cowboy Denny would say, you do some fine commentating.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but I think what Dave's referring to is Dave and I...
Out of nowhere, I'm at work. I'm just sitting there minding my business working. And then he just, like, dangles this DVD box in front of me. And
oh, I'm this like, box right here that I have? This movie?
Why would you bring that into work?
Well, I was cleaning out the man cave. The Bat Dave man cave is a mess.
I made copies for everybody.
Yeah,
please
it was
don't.
In shambles. And I was going through stuff. Lisa and I are going to have a huge... Lisa Buster and I are going to have a huge yard sale next month. Going to blow out a ton of crap.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of crap, we found this movie.
Oh, God.
No, I'm sorry. And what may go into the sell pile is a horror movie called Only Go There at Night 2.
It's actually called Only Go There at Night, Darkness Rising.
And I flip over the back of it, and I totally forgot that you were the sinister serial killer in this horror movie.
I was also 100 pounds heavier than I am right now.
Oh, I didn't notice that until you said that.
Yeah, you did.
But,
that picture on the back of that is all jowl.
But yeah, it's the camera angle they used. The guy was like standing on your shoelaces, looking up, taking the picture.
We did a photo shoot in a church for it, because I have a scene in the church.
Well, I'm also busting on you a bit because I'm a little bitter because they cut my scenes. Pretty much.
I got Dave an extra role in the movie, and he's in the blooper reel because
I was. This is how versatile I was. Versatile. I was the reporter number 3/ barfly. So
yeah.
I was in two scenes.
So Dave's in the press.
They're doing a press conference.
A press conference scene. So he does ask a question. Does your question get
Yeah, but they film me from the back of my head.
Yeah,
I look
so
like Screech.
You get the back of Dave's head, and then and there's a bar scene, and Dave is sitting there drinking, and Dave's actually drinking.
For real.
So we do like 10, 12 takes of this scene.
3 hours.
And Dave is like legitimately hammered at this point.
That's method acting.
Yeah, and so he's in the blooper reel, drunk as a skunk. It's amazing.
I'm supposed to be the newscaster that's standing in front of the bodies outside with the yellow police tape, and I'm supposed to just say two lines about how, you know, the serial killer may be in the area, you know, be careful.
Uh-huh.
And I just cannot get the words out. So they take my scene where I didn't know the camera's rolling, and I'm looking up at the sky. It was a beautiful day, and I'm like, it's so beautiful out today. And that's what they put in the blooper reel.
Uh-huh.
I was not called back for Ogden 3, the sequel.
It never got made.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually kind of sad. Why didn't you invite me?
What?
Why didn't you invite me?
Oh, because I did not like you back then.
All right, time to do some upcoming cons.
No, but
all
you know
right,
what? It was cool. It was a cool, like, the script was, it was a very well-written script. I think we were kind of, it fell victim to...
No budget.
No budget and having the technology that was available to us at the time. But I enjoyed playing the character. It was a character that was written specifically for me. It was like a split personality, schizophrenic. I got to do a conversation with myself in the mirror, which was fun.
That was good, and that was a little special effects there.
They did. They did a special effect where, like, I am saying one thing and the mirror is saying another thing.
I say we watch this one night. We have, maybe this summer, we have a bar. No, you don't want to?
No, you
want to
do, like, a commentary track for it? Like,
yeah, or just, you know, Lisa's never seen it. Oh, he's okay. Never seen it. I no, think it would be fun.
Lisa wasn't with you at the premiere, because you showed up at the premiere like you were Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah. But in my defense, they filmed the bar scene last. So the whole time, I was drinking, and I was drinking, uh-huh. I was drinking. So by the time it was time for my scene, I was pretty gone.
Yeah.
But I did get to meet famous B-movie star Edward X. Young, who we should have on the show in the future.
I love Edward X. Young. Yeah, he's in the bar scene with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he plays a not-so-reliable
preacher.
Priest.
Yeah,
preacher.
He is Edward X. Young. He was only in the one scene, but he would come to filming a lot because he did a lot of the special effects and a lot of the gore and stuff like that. And he was an invaluable resource to me because I had never done film before. All my acting was stage. So Ed would, like, between takes, like, pull me aside and he'd be like, this is what you got to do here. He helped me get into the mind of a slasher, like the mind of a serial killer. And, like, he explained to me, he's just like, you know, they're all crazy. You're the only sane one. And, like, he gave me these, like, tips on how to get in this character's mind. Helped me exponentially. I want to have Ed on the show because, I mean, he's
absolutely
just such an interesting guy.
And then we had the world premiere of it at an old historic theater in Boonton. New Jersey.
It was the historic Darris Theater in Boonton, New Jersey.
And that was fun.
That was fun. Seeing it on the big screen was pretty cool.
Yep. And, I think Denny's anxious to start talking about our upcoming events.
Oh, before that, let me know when you guys watch it, because I'll be busy.
He's so bitter that he wasn't in it.
It's true. You guys, your friendship got off to a rocky start.
Well, yeah, actually, you know what? It was actually because of Spider-Man.
But I didn't like him either. Me and Tom Yauch, my supervisor, we didn't like him because Denny had the tattoos and the earring, and he was always brooding. And
it's just because I look so badass.
No, I remember what got us off to, like, Spider-Man 2 had just come out with Doc Ock.
Sure.
And I loved it. I thought it was, like, the greatest movie ever. And Denny's like, it was a terrible movie. It was an insult to Spider-Man. I looked at him, I said, get a life. And it was, like, the first interaction we ever had, and, like, we hated each other.
Did he spoil the ending of that, too?
No, I had already seen it.
Comic-Con season is upon us, and boy, is it upon us.
We're going to be quite busy.
Very busy. You're going to see Bat Squad Radio podcasting live, or you're going to see us Jokers from Bat Squad Studios filming live. But either way,
Jokers?
I think we're going to start with, what is it now? It's the second half of March, so we have a little breather, and then April arrives. April 3rd, 4th, and 5th is the Great Philadelphia Comic-Con.
Can't wait.
Who are we going to see there?
Are you giving it to me to read?
Well, I know it's got a heavy Star Trek theme to it.
Yes, very heavy. George Takei. Oh, my. Oh, George Takei. Nichelle Nichols. Walter Koenig. Who's Jonathan Frakes?
Number 2 on the Next Generation. Right.
Oh, okay. All right. And then a number of the Power Rangers. I believe Austin St. John, who played Jason the Red Ranger. Walter Jones, who played Zach the Black Ranger. And David Yost, who played Billy the Blue Ranger. And then the girl, I don't remember her name, but she played Aisha, the second Yellow Ranger. They're all going to be there.
And tons of amazing artists.
Yes.
Including show promoter and organizer Craig Blake.
Phenomenal art. Craig's art at when I was looking at a Big Apple Con blew me away. I was like, wow.
Yeah, he's definitely got his own unique style.
Yep. And then April 11th and 12th is the East Coast Comic Con in Secaucus, New Jersey. What, did you want to talk about that?
I wanted to say that. Sadly, I know you guys are upset, but I can't make it to that con.
So April 11th.
Woohoo!
Yeah, but Craig, that's gonna be interesting.
Craig promised
me that he's gonna plaster my photo across the whole entire con.
Mini posters.
You will not get away from me.
Could you imagine, like, if that does happen, we have to film, like, a scene where, like, you and I are walking around and, like, there's just pictures of Denny and we're just like, what is going on?
Oh, we take one to the urinal and piss on
it.
Well, we kind of have something planned, like, while I'm not there, what we should do. It's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be interesting, just you and me at a con. This has never happened before.
But ask Denny how I am. You won't even know I'm there. I'll be everywhere
else. Oh, no, you will know that he's there, because he's gonna say, hey, can you take a photo of me crouching down, or a picture with this, or a picture with that? Can you
know what?
Can
I may be busy that day, too.
Hey.
I may come with you to Charlie's Easter egg hunt.
Exactly.
No, we will have a little Star Trek group there that we're going to put together to meet the three out of four. There's only four remaining surviving Star Trek original series members. Well, William Shatner is tied into Wizard World, so he won't be there.
Right.
This is the great Philly show, which comes a month before the Wizard Philly. Yeah. So we're moving on to what? April
11th and 12th, East Coast Comic Con. Special guest, Neil Adams. I know, right? Jim Steranko. Simon Bisley.
I would say Bisley. Bisley. For, Lobo fame.
Yeah, Basil Gogos, Bob Camp, and Arthur Adams.
Among others. I mean, this is not a show for if you like spectacle and has-beens and people in costumes. This is for if you like the comic book genre, if you like the comic book as an art form. Our two buddies, Dan Greenfield and Cliff Galbraith, this is actually their fifth show. It is an extension of the original Asbury Park Comic Con that they started 4 years ago in Asbury Lanes. That's right. They had two Comic Cons in a bowling alley in funky old downtown historic Asbury Park.
Right, but they're not doing the Asbury Park Comic Con anymore, right?
No, they've moved it up to Secaucus, New Jersey. So April 11th and 12th, East Coast Comic Con. This is a show. Denny's even excited about this one.
Wait, what? I was reading
East Coast Comic Con.
Oh, hell yeah, man. I can't wait for East Coast Comic Con. I'm very excited. I got to see Bob Camp.
Your buddy.
Ren and Stimpy creator.
The way I stalk Neil Adams, Denny's been stalking Bob Camp lately. Yeah. But we do purchase stuff from these people. We don't just go up there and get freebies.
I want to go with you guys to this one. This sounds good.
Yes. We would invite you.
I'm inviting myself.
It's sold out.
Yeah, too bad.
Yeah.
We're going on the 13th.
Ah, just kidding. This is only a two-day show, East Coast Comic Con, April 11th and 12th.
Hey, it's a couple days from my birthday, so I think that'll be...
you're not going.
And then 5 days later, this is why me, Denny, and Kevin are all going to be in the doghouse with our women. 5 days later, there's our third show, third weekend in a row, and that's April 17, 18, and 19 at AmazeCon. Right, Kev?
I'm not going to be in any doghouse. I'm not going to that.
Okay, so... AmazeCon! Hold on, let me get my announcer voice.
Oh, no.
AmazeCon is back for a third smash year, April 17, 18, and 19 at the Clarion Hotel in downtown Essington, PA, just south of Philadelphia.
And the guests will be William Sanderson from Blade Runner, Veronica Cartwright of Alien, the movie you didn't see, Marta Kristen, she was Judy Robinson, Lost in Space.
And I have a special announcement. I'm having my very first full costume cosplay.
Head to toe cosplay?
That is celebrity right there.
Folks, that's worth going to AmazeCon just for that. Because last year, Denny did fake head to toe cosplay. I gave him a pair of black sweatpants and he won a trophy for most original.
Get out of town. Did you really?
He played Kato, Spider-Kato, in sweatpants.
Yeah,
the lighting was very dark. People,
what's the costume? Is it like a secret or
it's a, no. It's a secret.
Okay,
it's a
secret. And even better secret is I may be piggybacking along with a brand new Bat Dave character. That
you're going to glom off, Denny? What a shock!
Thank you. That's what I said to him, but he's like, "No, this is going to be so cool. We could do it together." And blah 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 blah. Yeah. And I was like, "Dude, you're just trying to steal my thunder."
I'm not a thunder stealer.
No, you are the you are Percy Jackson and the Thunder Thief.
No, here's what I do. When I see a cosplay friend of mine is executing an idea and it could go to the next level by me helping him,
I have to glom off of it and put my face in it.
The glommer.
The glommer.
Well, I could see there's two camps on that. People see me as a cosplay glommer, where I just add my awesome talents to something that pre-existed, or people go, "Holy crap, Bat Dave. By you joining that guy, you took it to a whole other level, and it's something truly special now."
By that, is that like the voice of Buster that you hear in your head?
Yes.
He looks at you, "Holy crap, Bat Dave, that looked great."
All right, and then...
Well, thank you, Bark Knight.
Then we get a break. We get a week or two off, and then Wizard Philly! And that's
huge.
That's
a huge
4 days.
Show.
Oh, why do they do these four-day shows? Yeah. May 7th. 8th, 9th, and 10th, and that's in downtown Philadelphia at the Convention Center. Yeah. We've been to many of these. And this is, the previous shows are great. They're great shows, but Wizard Philly, they have the big bucks, and so they're going to get guests like Doctor Who, David Tennant.
That's huge. Huge, 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 huge.
His sexy sidekick, probably the most favorite one, Billy Piper.
Not my favorite, but a favorite, yes.
Machete, Danny Trejo.
I do love Danny Trejo.
He's in every freaking movie.
Yeah. Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion from Firefly.
Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell, Arrow.
Have I Oliver said Queen? Any of the names right so far?
You're right. You're close.
Because I can predict that you're going to want to go to this show.
I do want to go to this show.
They also just announced, which I'm semi-excited for, is, if you're a wrestling fan, is Ronan Reigns.
Roman Reigns?
Did I say Ronan?
You said Ronan, like Ronan the Accuser.
My prediction is
Ronan Reigns is going to be there.
I'm excited for this, but unfortunately he's only here on Friday. Randy Orton.
All right.
Sting.
Oh, that's cool.
Roxanne.
I was not listening because I don't watch wrestling anymore.
Sting is the one that looks like the Crow, right?
Yeah. Sting is my all-time favorite wrestler. Like, Sting is the closest thing wrestling's ever had to Batman.
WWE Diva Page and Dolph Ziggler.
But that's only on Friday?
They're all different. That's the problem. Like, one's Thursday, one's Friday, one's Saturday. So
it Sting, is a four-day
Sting's
show.
On Saturday.
Sting's on
so
Saturday.
So if you
okay. want
to do the Sting, I'll do the Sting with you.
Yeah, I might actually want
to
do that.
All right, we'll see.
We go to Saturday, and I drive, as always. You know, I provide the transportation.
Yeah, we'll get there in 3 hours. Yeah.
We park. It's a, what you call a public parking lot right across the street from it.
Right.
I'll have my extra undies packed. Nerve-wracking to go to Philadelphia. But it's a great show. And then the following weekend is a brand new show in Atlantic City called ACBC, Atlantic City Boardwalk Con. And it's got these little lesser-known people, guests like Stan Lee.
What?
Adam West.
Excelsior. Adam West.
Burt Ward.
Oh, my goodness.
Julie Newmar, the original Catwoman. Who I've yet to meet. Kevin Smith, acclaimed New Jersey director Kevin Smith.
Oh, I love this.
Michael Rooker, as Denny would say. Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker.
And a ton of other people. This is just, my head's about to explode.
That's amazing. I want to go to that one, too.
May 14th, 15th.
How many shows did you just hype here? 1, 2, 3, 4. I want to go to 4 out of 5 of these shows.
Good. And I think you're going to 4 out of 5.
Let me see. 1, 2, 3. I think I only go 3.
And I might go to 5 out of 5, and that's why
that's why you're hyping
here.
Them.
That's why I'd be looking for a new place to live after this, because I'm never home anymore.
Well, luckily, my lovely wife likes to come to these shows with me, so.
Oh, Jackie, that's right. She is lovely.
Yeah.
Thank God my lovely wife does not want to go to these shows.
Maybe someday we could record at your place.
Probably not. I wouldn't hold your breath.
Well, I'm happy with this episode. It seems like it went for like 2 hours.
It actually is about the length of our other episodes.
Oh, 59 minutes?
No.
I have to poop. Are we done yet?
Yeah, we're done.
Okay, good.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Bat Squad Radio. We thank you so much for joining us again this week, as always. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can join our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/group/Bat Squad Radio. You can also like the White Dragon Podcast Network on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network. Follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN. If you are looking for a way to help out your favorite podcast network, you can go to whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. If you're going to be doing any Amazon shopping, you can click the Amazon banner at the top of the page. It takes you to the same Amazon page you always go to. Shop as you normally do. You don't pay a penny extra, and the White Dragon Podcast Network gets a small percentage of what you buy. If you're looking to help in a more direct manner, you can go over to whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com/sponsor to become a sponsor of the network and make a small monetary donation. No amount is too small, and all donations will be recognized on the air on Two Men in the Mouse, Mouselaneous Discussions, and Bat Squad Radio. Folks, thank you so much for joining us again this and every week. Dave, any closing words?
Yeah. Screw Dave.
Denny, any closing words?
Batman just has money.
All right, folks. For Bat Dave, for Spider Denny, my name's Kev L. We will see you next time. Same Bat Squad time. Same Bat Squad channel.
Screw Dave.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.